pre-recorded from Joe's mom's basement. Welcome to another Rewind episode of the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey everyone, I'm Griffin the intern, but because Joe's mom calls me the Fintern, I suppose you can too. Joe and OG are out with Joe's mom playing a weird game called cow tipping. Sounds like something that they would think is hilarious, but I'm not sure I want to know anymore. That leaves me here alone to either play on the Atari 2600 or fire up an episode for you. I was blowing dust out of one of these old game cartridges when I discovered that this Dig Dug game is actually Stacking Benjamin's episode 122. Financial expert Andrea Warrock joins us to talk about saving money on utility bills. Are there things you can do around the house that'll put money in your pocket? It turns out that Joe's mom should listen to this episode, because with just a few small tweaks, this whole place could be a heck of a lot warmer. As always, there's lots of other stuff on the show, so enjoy. And remember to disregard any info you hear about investments or giveaways. This episode was originally released way back on Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. The guys are back on Monday, assuming they don't get killed by some cattle first. Fintern out.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Live from my parents' basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And on today's show, consumer expert Andrea Warrock is here, and she is teaching us how to slash, and I don't mean cut by a little OG, I mean slash your utility bills. That's coming up today, along with headlines, PK talking about choppy markets, Doug has trivia, movies, and more. And here he is, Mr. Movie Man himself, the one, the only OG.
What's shaking, bacon?
Welcome back. So how was your trip?
Fantabulous. Nice 3.5-4 day trip without the mini me's.
Without the youngins?
Yeah, a little work, a little fun, nice dinner.
That is.
Spent too much money.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Isn't that how it always is? I took that trip to Michigan this summer and decided that that was going to be a work trip because, you know, with Stacking Benjamins, I can theoretically work from anywhere. It is right. So hard to be on the road and actually get work done because your brain goes into vacation mode.
Yeah. Well, for me, just one day was a work event. And then that evening was spent with the bride, and the work day kind of ended at 3. So it really wasn't that.
Well,
there's a travel day, half of a work day from 7 till 3-ish. Rest of the night with the bride and then some friends on the weekend and fly home. So,
hey, you know what, OG? You may only have one work day, but somebody that's working 24/7 for you, I love the eye roll.
One work day. You got it. One work day out of one. I got one out of one. I'm at 100%. Yep. Let's hear it. Who's working 24/7?
MagnifyMoney.com, our sponsor, okay. Of course, right? And at Magnify Money, they help you compare, ditch, switch, and save money on your savings accounts, on your debt, on your banking, and on your credit cards. MagnifyMoney.com. I've got this note from the Grand Poobah, Nick. I'm going to keep calling him that until he tells me to stop because I like that. I just think of Nick sitting on the Magnify Money throne, sending out notes to Stacking Benjamin's listeners. But listen to this note from Nick. He says, people get duped into bad credit cards with confusing earning structures and big sign-on bonuses. We've never seen that before, have we?
No.
It just seems like, yeah, you get these.
As I'm staring at this envelope right here from American Express made out to me and my company, like, you could get 100,000 membership rewards points just by signing up today.
And then there's like asterisk, 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 asterisk.
Yeah, I don't want to read that stuff. That's too small.
Yeah, right. At MagnifyMoney.com, you can input how much you spend by category, and we'll show you how much you'll earn every year to make sure you get the full $450 or more that you deserve if you're somebody who is a rewards person, because there are people out there, OG, and we've talked about different people. There's some people who shouldn't have any credit cards, people that really need to learn how to keep credit cards away from them, and then people who handle them responsibly. And for those people, at Magnify Money, put in exactly who you are, and they will help you find the right one. And what's cool is, OG, they show you their math. Simpler equals better. We want less fine print. We want to make sure that we understand how it works. So here's what you do to check it out yourself. Go to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money and look at your savings account. We talked on Monday about how you could save at least $250 there for your debt, maybe $850 a year there. And on today's, maybe $450 in rewards. So saving you a lot of money over at stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money. Let's help people save money, OG, by giving them some great headlines. you've got a headline, OG. What's up with that?
Yeah, I just came across this and I thought that this could be our discussion for today. I mean, I don't know how much you pay attention to the market.
I don't pay attention at all.
I mean, so you know that it's been a little
shaky.
Here's a headline from the Wall Street Journal. Market's seven-day rout leaves U.S. reeling. So stocks in a slow-motion crash as the Dow drops another 679 points. After a year of declines, investors have lost $8.4 trillion in wealth. And they've got different charts here. This is just really, really quite blech to look at. Market's down 21% in the last 7 days. It's down 40% in the last year. And this other part of the headline says GM and Ford face worsening cash crunch. Easy for me to say. Citibank's going to end their talks with Wachovia. Sharks are circling Morgan Stanley. I don't know what to make any of this.
We talked about pension problems on Monday.
Pension problems. I mean, market's down 21% in 7 days. Yeah, this is just from the Wall Street Journal. Stocks fell for a seventh straight day on trading, now down more than 20%. It's closing below this whatever number, first time in 5 years. 11th largest percentage decline in the history of the Dow.
Historically,
this is crazy.
Historically, OG, these are the times, though, when you want to be ready to start buying, don't you?
Here's an interesting thing. Sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but I'll lose it.
Yeah.
I actually do know the future.
You do?
I do. The interesting thing about this article, maybe you know this or maybe you have, maybe you don't. Maybe you're that oblivious to what's going on. This is dated October the 10th. This is the Wall Street Journal from October the 10th. Of course, the year is 2008. These are all headlines from 6 years ago.
Oh,
and we
funny.
All remember 2007, 2008, more specifically the fall of 2008. And I'm sure you remember them vividly. I sure do. This time's different, right? It's 2008. The market's down 20% in 7 days. It's down 40% in a year. And it's just melting down. It's not like a big crash. It's just going down every day. And you and I are talking about it like it's in present tense, calmly saying, maybe we should invest now. But knowing now that what happened was that the Dow was at, this is October of 2008, the Dow was under 9,000. Here we sit here today, I don't know, it's 16 and a half, 17, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So when's the right time to invest money if the market's going up, down, sideways, or down 20% in 7 days?
Well, I think that's where it comes down to, and this was my point earlier, is that I think you got to be talking about dollar cost averaging.
You just stick to the plan, right?
Yeah.
The plan's the plan, regardless of what's happening. And it's interesting to look back at this. I just happened upon this. The Wall Street Journal has a anniversary thing that they're doing, and every so often they're showing a headline from a couple, you know, different periods of time. And this one just kind of struck me as how in the present time, 6 years ago, everybody was pulling their hair out. It was so uncomfortable to go to work. I mean, I'm sure you remember that as well. It was bad, you know. But those who did the right thing, those who just kept the blinders on and said, well, my goals haven't changed, so my portfolio shouldn't change. And my cash flow changed. I should put my $100 in my mutual fund this week, just like I did last week. And those people have been well rewarded just on a point-to-point basis. You know, their high watermark was October of 07. They hit it again in October of 2011. It took 4 years to kind of get back to that high watermark after this 2008 time period. But now, of course, the market's two times higher. So in the midst of the market just taking a gigantic crap, if you knew in advance that in 5 or 6 years from now, it will be double where it is today, how much should you invest?
Everything.
And I would say you should invest every single solitary penny you could come up with.
Yeah.
Right.
I would take out a loan on your house and I would invest the proceeds.
Wonderful.
That's what I would do. I have another important thing here, OG, from Financial Planning Magazine.
Is it recent?
It actually is. This is from 36 years ago. 401k fees at issue as High Court accepts Edison worker appeal. I thought this is a very timely and interesting headline. This is from Bloomberg. The U.S. Supreme Court will consider giving 401k participants more power to sue their plans over investments that impose excessive fees, accepting an appeal tied to a wave of suits against employers. The case comes to the Supreme Court amid intensified scrutiny of fees and retirement accounts, now the primary savings vehicle for old age. More than a dozen companies, including Lockheed Martin and ABB, have been sued since 2006. Americans held $6.6 trillion $1 trillion, trillion with a T, in 401k type plans, OG, as of June 30th, according to the Investment Company Institute. I think that's a good move. I think the fact that people can look at their 401k, I'm thinking about Ken's letter on Monday when he was complaining about his employer making some really sketchy moves with the 401k. This threat of lawsuits might hopefully make employers maybe pay a little bit better attention to what they're putting in those plans.
Yeah, I agree. If you can lower the fees, it's good. But remember, if you lower it to zero, you all of a sudden stop getting service. So there's got to be a balancing act in there somewhere.
I totally agree with that. But it also seems like, and there have been things on the table for this in the past, OG, where there have been plans on the table that have been shut down where advisors could actually, for a fee, help people with their 401k, which right now is illegal, is my understanding.
Well, I don't think that's illegal. I think that every plan has a responsibility to, and what plans are being focused on now, inside of the plan, I should say, is doing the fiduciary responsibility, which is providing education. And some people do that, some companies do that by offering an outsourcing method. My wife's company, for example, sends a letter, I don't know, every 6 months or so that says, hey, we can manage your account for you. Just give us your risk tolerance and we'll do it. And it's X basis points. We just build that automatically. There's some 401k places like what you managed when you were a practicing advisor where the education that they provided was you coming out and doing workshops. So I think you're going to see more and more of that. I don't know that it's illegal to provide advice in a 401k plan, but maybe it is.
As part of my ADV, there was maybe it was the specific ADV for the company that I was with. There was a whole disclaimer about how I was not going to provide IRA or 401k advice.
Yeah, that's going to be company specific then. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it was legal for me to do. inside of the wrapper I was in. The great take-home advice today, OG, you should have had me when you said the market's down 40% since last year. The fact that I let that go is just beyond
Well, no,
me.
That's actually really good because I was wondering if you knew it and playing along or if you didn't know. Either way, that tells me that you're a great investor because you're investing. You're not speculating. Speculating would have been to say, oh my gosh, the market's down 20%. I got to do something.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to do the plan that you had, you know, that you made up a couple of years ago. Stick to the plan.
Stick with the plan. And 401k fees hopefully are going to be a little bit less egregious for some people. Ready to cut your utility bills, OG?
I am. I just got my bill. It's very high.
I'm so excited because Andrea Warrick is on the show. And for people that don't know who she is, you've probably seen her before. She's been on the Today Show, been on Fox and Friends, been on local TV in Los Angeles, in New York City. She's quoted everywhere, OG. She is the woman that can show you how to lower utility bills. And not just that, just when it comes to that consumer finance stuff, save money at the grocery store, that type of thing. Fantastic. So here she comes down to the basement. Let's talk to Andrea Warrick. And consumer expert Andrea Warrick joins us in the basement. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I have to say, it feels like being home in the basement because in California, we don't have basements and I'm from New York. So I have to say, I kind of miss them.
Yeah, we have the only basement in Texarkana too. You know, what's funny is it's got to be weird sitting here on these beanbag chairs and not have like the lights and the TV cameras staring in your face.
Yeah, you know, it's much more comfortable and not so hot. So I like it.
I got a question for you because I did local TV for 9 years. And so I know the experience a little bit, but I think it's worth taking a second for our audience. So when you're doing the Today Show or you're sitting on the set of one of the many shows that you do and, you know, the cameras kind of whirl around and the anchor comes and sits down next to you. Can you tell people about how that feels?
Well, I've been doing it for a while, and if I look back to my first interview to today's, there's definitely a huge difference. In fact, I hope that that tape from my first interview is completely destroyed and no one ever gets their hands on it. But I have to say that there's still a little bit of a rush of energy and adrenaline running through your blood. You're on live TV. You don't want to mess up. You want to portray yourself and what you're speaking about in the best possible way. And so there's definitely pressure because there's cameramen watching you. There's producers. There's the producer who brought you on who wants to make sure you present them in a great way too. So it's an exciting experience, but it's really quick too. I mean, some of these segments are as short as a minute and 50 seconds where you spend weeks preparing for these segments and then you don't even feel like you have enough time to really get your point across. So it's quite interesting, but I enjoy it. And well, then the lights just blinding you in your face.
I know. I remember that too. I'm trying not to sweat because the lights are so hot. I never believed. And I never believed, by the way, how much makeup everybody wears either.
Oh, yes. Sometimes I come out of those shows and I forget to rub it off. And then I'll run into the grocery store and I get these weird looks from everybody because it's midday. So yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's nice to get pampered. Sometimes before the shows, they have the makeup people actually do you. So,
oh, that's cool. No, I had to do my own makeup the years that I was on. And my sister was visiting once and wanted to go down to the studio to watch me do my segment. And she wrote to her friends, like got on Facebook with her friends and said, you know how creepy it is when you're in the bathroom, sit next to your brother, and he's putting on more makeup than you are.
That's hilarious. At least you had some help. I was going to say, if you were trying to figure it out on your own, that would have been quite interesting.
Yeah, not good. So let's jump into this because we've got some great stuff here. And we're not just going to sit and talk about life on TV, but you've got some great ways to lower your home energy bills. And a lot of people think that when we talk about home energy bills, we're talking about maybe 20 or 30 bucks. But I added these up. Man, you've got like a couple $1,000s in savings. This is big money you're talking about.
Yes. And, you know, this is especially something that's important to me. I live in Bakersfield, California, where the weather is so hot over the summer and our air conditioning bill was just over the top. It was so expensive. So we look for whatever ways we can cut back to really reduce our overall spending. And although I'm offering 10 tips, you know, just following a few of these can really help you save a few hundred dollars over the course of the year.
Yeah, it's funny. I look at these and out of 10, I thought when you sent these to me that I would get 7 or 8 of these right. And there's like 5 of these that I didn't know and I really need to start doing today. So let's jump into them. Number 10 is to switch your light bulbs to CFL. Explain that.
Right. So lighting represents the smallest portion of your home electricity bill, but it's also the least of those energy hogs on the list, but it's also the easiest and cheapest fix. So what I want you to do is swap out incandescent light bulbs for compact fluorescent lights, which you can save you a bundle and they start paying you back after about 6 months. Plus, they consume 75% less energy and typically last for 9 years. So you get a lot of use out of them. And they're not just for your overhead lights. You can use them for your outdoor floodlights and even night lights. And you're looking at saving about $70 annually by just swapping out 5 bulbs. So double that, do the math, and you're saving even more.
And what most of us see, and this is the reason I've always had a hard time with this one, is I go to the store and I look at the regular incandescent light versus the CFL, and the cost difference is so much different. You're saying we got to look way past that.
Yeah, look way past it. You know, it's a small little investment at the store at the moment. And then, like I said, those bulbs last longer and will save you more money over time. And instead of going to the store and replacing every light bulb in your house or around your home, maybe pick up 5 one month, the next month pick up a couple, and this will kind of spread out your spending and you won't feel such an impact in your wallet.
Right, a little more budget friendly. Number 9 is frustrating to me, Andrea, because you're saying that I have to call the handyman to fix some leaks in my house?
Or you can take, look on YouTube. Aren't there YouTubes for just about anything these days? Yes. Yeah, so leaky faucets. It's so annoying to hear that drip. You know that it's probably wasting water, but it's also costing you money. Now, this isn't too significant, but a leak of 1 drip per second can cost you $1 per month. Over the course of 20 years, you know, that's a lot of money. Now, this isn't just the leaking faucet in your kitchen. It could be your shower head. It could be pipes. So it is important to sometimes call in the experts and get things looked around to make sure everything's operating properly.
Yeah. And it's funny because that's the type of thing that you think, oh, it's not costing me much money. And over time, that could really add up.
Exactly. Especially if there are a few faucets or shower heads that are dripping all together at the same time.
But the funny thing is, so I implied in number 9 that I'm lazy, but in number 8, being lazy is awesome because you're saying I don't have to hand wash dishes.
It is. And this is especially something that I think my husband was excited to hear about. So some consumers believe that hand washing your dishes can reduce hot water use. However, you know, doing this throughout the day is actually less efficient than running a full load in one energy efficient dishwasher. So make sure you fully load that dishwasher, though, to really get the maximum benefits. And also, This I thought was interesting. Consider using a rinsing agent like Jet Dry that coats your dishes and repels the water to avoid those water spots. And people don't want the water spots on their glasses and their dishes, and that's why they use that heated drying cycle. But if you use that rinsing agent, you can disable that heating dry cycle or turn the dishwasher off before it enters that cycle. Let the dishes dry on their own, and you're reducing the heating and energy use.
Which is funny because, once again, I don't see the energy use until the end of the month on my bill. But when I'm at the grocery store, I see the cost of the Jet Dry, and I think it's going to be cheaper to pay the energy bill. But really, the Jet Dry is much cheaper.
Yes, it is over time. And of course, you might not see a significant change in the monthly utility, sure, but over the course of the year, you will. And I also was reading that the quality of the detergent that you're using may also help you get a better clean on the dishes, so you don't feel the need to run the dishwasher twice, because of course, then you're utilizing more energy. So definitely also rinse those dishes a little bit so that you don't have huge chunks of food stuck on the plates. I know that's not maybe something you want to hear, but doing that a little bit will help the cleaning process along and make those dishwashers run more efficiently.
You know, it's funny, a reoccurring theme as we just started going through these, and as I look down the list of what we're going to talk about, a reoccurring theme here is much the same as it is with clothing, that a lot of people will buy cheaper stuff and then it falls apart, where if you spend a few more dollars today, you're going to have this value and things last a lot longer. You end up saving a lot more money over time.
Yes, that's exactly so. And I think that that's a great point to point out, especially with clothing. Yes.
Yeah. Number 7, out with the old, in with the new, talking about fashion. But this isn't about being fashionable. This is about the fact that those old appliances could be killing your energy bill.
Yeah. So if you have any major appliance that's 10 to 15 years old, you should consider upgrading the unit. Of course, this is a big expense, so it might not be something that you could do right away, but maybe you could start budgeting for it. In fact, today's Energy Star efficiency appliances operate at 10 to 20% less energy use. So here's just a couple examples to run by you. So inefficient clothes washers can cost 3 times as much to operate than an efficient one. And front loaders use less water and less energy than top loaders. What's more, replacing an old refrigerator with a new Energy Star certified model saves up to $1,100 in energy costs over the appliance's lifetime. I've pulled that from Energy Star website. And then the Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers say that buying a new air conditioner with an energy efficient rating of 10 to replace one rated at 5 will reduce your cost of cooling by a whopping 50%.
Wow.
And of course, no air conditioning, like I said earlier, can take a huge chunk of your utility bill. So I actually did write a post on Clark Howard's website, 11 ways to pay less for appliances, where I talk about looking for refurbished, talk about looking for deals on floor models. In fact, one of my tips is to look at a rebate program in your area, like Cash for Appliances, perhaps, or KitchenAid, let's special offers as well to get help you with mail-in rebates and such.
And I'll link to that as well as other notes to these in the show notes at StackingBenjamins.com. Now, here's a question for you. The government no longer has the program, the energy efficiency tax credit, but are there still ways we can save?
Yes, there are. So Samsung, for example, has a rebate center listing all available rebates by appliance type and location. Cash for Appliances is a government rebate program that pays consumers up to $250 per appliance when they replace an old one. You may even do a Google search in your area. There could be companies that will haul away your old appliances. They maybe use it for parts and they'll pay you some cash. So do a little bit of research in your area. Maybe speak to friends and neighbors. You never know what someone may have found out and be able to help you with.
I've actually was surprised when I asked the people at the store if there were any rebates, and I kind of acted like I wasn't going to buy unless there was one. It was surprising because these people as employees, they work at the store. We had a guest on recently, Josh Ellich, who said that's a great idea just to go in and ask, just say, hey, yeah, is there any rebate today? Is there one coming?
Oh, and that's, I have so many of those types of tips where you go in, you speak with the customer service representative. They maybe can tell you about an upcoming promotion. Maybe they'll let you know, come in 2 weeks, we're going to be running this really awesome deal. Perhaps they're going to do some kind of financing special with 0% for 2 years so that you can purchase a few appliances for your home and pay it off that time without paying interest. Also, sometimes they match prices. In fact, a lot of those like Home Depot and Lowe's will match prices. So if you compare deals, sales. Maybe they can even try to beat that competitor's price. So go in with the knowledge and do your research beforehand.
That's awesome. Number six is frustrating. Getting back to Joe being lazy.
Yes.
Don't overload the laundry.
Yeah. And sometimes I've done this too, and I notice that I don't get an efficient dry. So most of us want to get that daunting task of doing laundry done as quickly as possible. And so we may stuff our clothing and bedding to the max capacity to be time efficient, but this is actually going to be less efficient with your money. The less room there is in the dryer, the less able that dryer is to circulate heat, and the less your clothes and bedding will dry. So you may have to use that dryer twice. And of course, you're now doubling the use of energy that that dryer is consuming. Now, I thought this was interesting. Usually you don't measure your laundry. You throw it in the washer, you pull it out and you throw it into the dryer. Obviously, wet clothing and bedding or towels are going to be more compact, so they seem to fit in the dryer, but you want to measure it when they're actually dry. You know, eyeball it is totally fine. Make sure there's about 25% room around your clothing in the dryer to get the effective airflow. And also, remember to mind your minutes, mindlessly setting your dryer to the max time when only 30 or 40 minutes will do so is a costly habit. And one more tip, when you are doing multiple loads, try to load them one after another. This will reduce the warm-up and drying time. And just kind of by following all these little tips, you're looking at $30 to $40 of savings in a year.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but you add up all 10 of these tips, Andrea, and we've got some serious money.
Exactly. And that could be your internet bill for one month.
Absolutely.
I mean, it helps all of us out.
We're speaking with consumer expert Andrea Warwick, who's been, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you're everywhere. How do you juggle being everywhere?
Sometimes I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. No, it's like I said, I get to do some of my things from home, and I am from New York. So whenever I go there, I'm able to see friends and family. And yeah, I feel like I live in every time zone. I'm just taking calls from all over the country, but it's exciting. And I love the adrenaline and the rush of it all.
I was going to ask here that we're halfway done. Do you have any productivity apps that you use because you're somebody that's so busy that you really like?
I mean, just using my calendar, if I didn't have my reminders going off in my email and on my phone, and I would definitely miss some important interviews and calls that I have going on. Also, I save everything on the Google Drive. This way I can access it from wherever I am, whether it's an important document, talking points, so I don't miss out on those important things. And then, of course, I use Mint to manage all my finances, because when I'm on the road, those bills may come in the mail, and if I'm not on top of it, I'm going to miss out and pay late.
Yeah, right. No, I had a client who was, she was one of the anchors on the TV station I was at, and it was amazing when I started working with her. She made so much money, and yet she paid her bills late all the time because she was always juggling 5 million tasks and didn't have good systems.
Right. And, you know, and there's something about setting up auto payment for all my bills that I just don't want to do, because I don't want to get in the habit of not reviewing my bills. I've found errors on them. And of course, we know that we don't want to be paying for something that we don't have or get.
Right. Well, and you're somebody that talks about the errors on the bills all the time.
Right. Too. So I need to be an advocate for it as well.
Absolutely. So let's tackle the bottom five here. Number five is interesting. It is one of the ones that I mentioned at the top of the show that I'd never thought about, which is maybe turn down your water heater.
Yes. So most water heater manufacturers set their temperatures at 140 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, most households only require, and you'll be happy with the water temperature, at 120 degrees Fahrenheit. And considering you could save $12 to $30 per year in energy costs for every 10 degree reduction, turning down the water heater temperature is a quick fix. Now, one that I think that a lot of people forget and overlook is that if you're leaving, going on vacation, especially with the upcoming holidays, perhaps you're going to family members for Thanksgiving for three or more days, turn your water heater completely off. You don't need to use it.
Boy, that's great advice. Number four is this acronym you have, CIP. What's CIP?
So it stands for condense, insulate, and patch. This is referring to your HVAC system, your heating and cooling. And considering that this accounts for approximately 43% of your energy bill, your heating and air conditioning systems are your biggest home energy hogs. Now, I understand that most homeowners can't completely overhaul their system. So low-cost maintenance, like changing air filters and sealing, heating and cooling ducts can reduce your energy use by 20%. So when I say condense, think about closing windows and doors to unused rooms. I live in a house where we have 3 bedrooms. We don't use half of the house for most of the year. So I have to always make sure that I close those doors to better lock in the heat for the winter or the air conditioning, and so it flows better throughout the rest of the house. Also, make sure your ceiling fans are reversed and on low to better circulate warm air in the winter. Then there's insulate. A well-insulated attic, if you have it, or your walls, saves up to 50% of your heating bill. So you might want to evaluate those insulation levels. And this is somewhat time that you can call in an expert to really look over this if you haven't had someone come in and make sure that everything is in working order. And then patch. Take the time to test air loss throughout your home and properly seal the areas prone to leakage, including baseboards, attic catches, electrical outlets, even your window. You can get those plastic, I forget what it's called, but you put it over your window so less heat can escape through there. And in fact, the Department of Energy's article on detecting air leaks can help you cover all your bases. If you just go to energy.gov, I found all these really great tips on how to find those air leaks, some of which I wasn't even familiar myself with.
Yeah, that is a fantastic tip. And I don't think that you have this on your list, but I wanted to ask you about having those. In some areas, the utility company will come out and do an energy audit, an overall audit of your house. Do you like those?
Yes, I think it's a great idea. It gives you an opportunity to see if you have everything in working order, and they might be able to detect something that you completely missed or something that you didn't even know about that could really overall help you save on your energy consumption.
And by the way, one other thing I wanted to point out was that when you talked about the ceiling fans in heated rooms reversed, everybody thinks about using your ceiling fan when you're cold, but using your ceiling fan in the winter is a great idea to keep the heat from rising and just disappearing.
Exactly. It'll push the warm air down.
Yeah.
So, and most experts do say that making sure that you have your ceiling fans running, whether it's in the summer or in the winter, you know, it's continually circulating that air throughout your house so that your heating or cooling system isn't working as hard. And so it's not detecting those hotter or cooler patches throughout your house. You need to circulate the air to make sure that you feel comfortable and your system is working efficiently.
All right, we're up to the big three. I got goosebumps.
Woohoo!
Number three, get with the program.
Yes. So again, now I wanted to butt this up to the previous one where we were talking about heating and cooling systems. We know that this is the biggest chunk of your utility bill, and the biggest payoff ultimately comes with installing a programmable thermostat. So this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the segment about how spending a little bit of money and making a small investment can ultimately help you save. Now, a thermostat is a really smart way to go when you're considering your heating and cooling costs, because if you're, I think this is common sense, but a lot of people forget about it or run off to work and don't even think to check their thermostat. But if you're heating your home when you're not home over the winter or cooling it when you're not home over the winter, you're obviously using unnecessary energy and just dumping money into the trash. So what I like, I actually have the Nest. So I spent a little bit more and purchased, it's a learning system, and it actually learns your living patterns, and it learns your living patterns through the week as well as separately for the weekends, and it adjusts temperatures accordingly. Plus it's Wi-Fi enabled, so we can control it from our smartphones. So if we happen to be away for a few days and we decide to stay longer, then we can make sure that that air conditioning doesn't kick back in if we're not home. Now you can spend anywhere from $24 per unit up to $250, and the savings is going to bring you in $180 per year. So obviously it'll pay for itself quickly.
Yeah, wow. And you also said that you can find a discount on those too.
Yeah, so Lowe's and Home Depot, I find that they have a great pricing. Nothing is overpriced there with those when I've compared with other stores. And if you go to giftcardgranny.com, they have discount gift certificates for these home improvement stores. So you're looking at saving 10% off right off the bat on those. And then at couponsherpa.com, I have found coupons for the Home Depot, which you can use in addition to those discount gift cards to save even more on those units.
Two quick questions about the Nest. How long have you had it in your house?
We've had it for about 6 months now, and seen a reduction of about $100, I think. I haven't compared it for last year yet, just because I was waiting for the summer to end.
Yeah.
But we definitely saved a bunch.
Wow. And how easy was it to install?
I wasn't the one to behind it, but my husband, he had it up in just a matter of minutes.
He did. Okay.
Of course, he thinks it's so cool because it's such a gadgety thing and we can control it from our smartphone. So he loves to show his friends it too.
I do too. Well, that's why I've been threatening to get it forever. And the installation process, I'm not much of a handyman. And I just think, oh man, just installing that. But
call me up when you're doing it. I'll have my husband walk you through it.
That sounds great.
But or I have to say, we have a dog at home too. And over the summer, like I said, it was just brutally hot, some days reaching over 100 degrees. And we had it set to kick on and off throughout the day for the dog to make sure that he was somewhat comfortable. And there were a few days where we ended up staying away longer and the air was off. And so we were able to turn it on so that he could be comfortable.
That's cool.
Miles away, 2 hours away, which is really great.
That is awesome. So number two is we've got to slay the energy vampires.
Yes, just in time for Halloween too. Slay those energy vampires. So these days, what I'm talking about, our homes are filled with all sorts of gadgets that utilize standby power. This is energy consumed by products, even when they are turned off, but still plugged in. So nationwide, idle gadgets collectively consume more than 100 billion kilowatt hours of electricity a year. That adds up to an extra $10 billion in energy costs. So that's a lot of money. And it's something that I don't think a lot of us really think about. Often the standby energy is wasted and referred to as energy vampires because they're products that are slowly sucking energy from your home and not really providing any useful function. So the biggest ones that are sucking that energy when they're plugged in but off are your TVs, video gaming systems like Xbox or PS3, your desktop computers, anything in your home office, even your cell phone chargers, your iPod chargers. So I know that I forget to unplug my iPhone charger too, but it's still consuming energy. So one of the easiest and quickest fixes, instead of walking all around your home every morning unplugging everything, is just to use a power strip, because that actually, when you switch it off, will completely cut off the energy consumption from those various gadgets, whether it's your home printer or your smartphone.
I was blown away when I saw how much energy the game systems use. I mean, when you said that's number one, I mean, those are number one by a mile.
Yes, they are. They have those, the LED screens on them that's using lighting, and they're just such huge gadgets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of components to it that they're definitely using a lot of energy. And, you know, if one of the things that annoyed my husband, I like to reference him a lot because I think about how to make it easier for other consumers when I see the way he reacts about certain things, was that he doesn't want to reach behind our dresser or behind the bookshelf in my office to constantly unplug those or switch off those power strips.
Yes.
So what we did was we purchased ones that were a little bit more expensive, but they have remote controls. So you can use it from the other side of the room, which is pretty helpful.
He is totally a gadget guy.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. And I wish I had a drum roll, but Andrea's number one tip.
You got cable, then you got to get a lamp timer.
Oh.
So it's kind of tying into the tip that we just talked about, but set-top cable boxes consume nearly the same amount of energy in the off mode as they do while in use. And I thought this was really interesting. According to a recent study by the Natural Resources Defense Council, cable boxes with DVR capabilities consume $3 billion in electricity per year in the United States. And 66% of that power is wasted when no one is watching and shows are not being recorded.
Holy cow.
Clearly, we are wasting a lot of energy when those cable boxes aren't being in use, when you're at work or you're busy doing homework with the kids, whatever it happens to be. Now, another issue here, though, is if you unplug those cable boxes, you may realize that when you turn them back on, there's that reboot delay of at least 10 minutes.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people out there who want to come home after a long day of work, just turn on the tube, turn on their ESPN or the news channel to catch up, don't really want to wait those 10 to 15 minutes. So a really easy solution, quick fix, if you install a lamp timer and have it turn off the power to the cable box right around the time you leave in the morning and have it set to turn back on before you get home from work, you can avoid that reboot time and save a bunch of money. And you're looking at about $65 per cable box in your home per year. And of course, that if you have three cable boxes, that's a lot of savings.
Wow, that's a ton of money. And you have, though, what you call, I love this phrase, your double dollar whammy solution, though, which is even better.
If you really want to save money, get ready for this. Cut the cable cord altogether.
You
won't be paying for the energy to run that. You're going to be saving money on your cable per month, like up to anywhere from $50 to $150, whatever it happens to be, however many shows you're watching. Plus, you're not going to be paying to rent those cable boxes. I mean, those cable boxes altogether are just causing you a lot of money grief.
Amen, sister. You are preaching to the choir now.
There you go.
Well, how does everybody follow you?
So you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. I post all my savings tips there, my recent segments, which are definitely helpful, offering lots of money saving tips. And I do blog on my website. So in fact, I was watching a really interesting segment today on the Good Morning America that I'm going to write a blog about, all about expiration dates on products and food and why you just shouldn't have to throw those away just because of the date on the box. So you can check me out on my website for more tips.
So you're going to say it doesn't matter how the milk smells, just drink it anyway?
Well, okay. If it smells bad or it's got chunks, then I'm going to let you throw it away. But otherwise, don't look at the expiration date and throw anything away just yet.
Yeah, and what's cool, I noticed on your website too, immediately it pops up a way that you can just get tips right to, whenever you write new stuff, I'm assuming it can come right to your email, right?
Yeah, you can sign up, you can subscribe, and then you'll get the emails right to your inbox. So if you're taking a train to work or you got a lunch break, you can scroll through to find some more money-saving ideas.
I didn't ask you about this.
Sure, that's what everybody wants to do on their lunch break, you know?
Well, that's what's more fun than saving money? It's a bunch of us, you know, nerds rule the world.
I know, right? I was thinking, like, are we really going to be talking about utility savings? But I tried to make it as exciting as possible.
For a half hour, it was exciting. Last thing, and I didn't ask you about this ahead of time, so maybe I shouldn't ask, but you seem like the type of person who's, you got to be working on a book or something, I would imagine.
I am. And I have to say, slow process, just because, like we were talking about earlier, I'm constantly working on different shows and different areas. And with the holidays coming around, it's a really busy season. But I have began putting together a book. And in fact, I just started writing my book proposal yesterday. So I'm feeling inspired and I'm going to run with it and just try to get it done as quickly as possible. I'm going to be focusing on retail trends. So definitely kind of have that consumer advocate feel to it and help shoppers save money.
Well, definitely keep us in the loop on that because, we'd love to have you back on when that comes up. And obviously, Mom likes having cool people down here in the basement.
And I love visiting. So I'll be back for sure.
Hey, trivia lovers, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Glad to meet you. Have a seat in this here part of the show, and I'll read you some trivia. Ready? What is the top ingredient in a dollar bill? This is the part where you marvel about how I ask such interesting questions, and then you listen to a little bit more of the show. I'm going to go drop off some bratwurst for Joe's mom, and I'll be back with the answer in just a second.
And now for something completely different. Pure, unadulterated genius from PK at DQYDJ.net.
Hello, Stacking Benjamins listeners. This is the two-letter guy, PK, from the five-letter site, DQYDJ.net, which stands for Don't Quit Your Day Job. Today, we're going to talk about a sale that's going on. As I make this segment, the S&P 500 is 4.1%. It's off its all-time intraday price high. Of course, by the time I'm finished recording this and you actually listening to it, that number will have changed, either giving you an even bigger discount or moving in the positive direction. So let's talk about nerves. The Chicago Board Options Exchange puts out an index popularly referred to as the VIX, as in V-I-X, which shows the implied volatility of the stock market by using options trade of the S&P 500 index to figure out where the S&P 500 might trade over the next 30 days. Basically, the higher it is, the more uncertainty there is in the price of the index. Let's put it this way. The VIX has risen a bit, not to historically high levels by any meaning of the word, but it has gone up about 45% in the last few months. So I just painted the picture. Nerves are fraying, and we're potentially in market conditions where itchy trigger-fingered investors might make some bad decisions. But hey, the only reason I know this is because I'm paying too close attention to the market. What do you think your best move is? That's right. Ignore it. Yes, I'm on record as saying valuations are stretched, the stock market is overpriced, and all of that noise. But even from when I made my first rumblings of overpricing, the stock market has still advanced around 6% as of this recording. There is a difference between calling something and actually making something on your call. Remember, before the tech bubble was inflating, Alan Greenspan made a very famous call, and he said that there was irrational exuberance in the market. Now, we remember his call as being correct, but what we don't remember is that he actually made that call in 1996, years before the stock market actually moved. In essence, he was right, and we remember that. But being right is one thing, and we do a disservice by conflating making money on calls and being right about calls. Your best move with the majority of your portfolio is to set it up to perform adequately in good times and bad. For me, even though I have way more active investment exposure than most should or do have, the majority of my portfolio is still in passive investment. So yeah, the stock market is giving you a gut check. And so far, from what I can tell, people are saying the right things. Buy the dips. Stick to the plan. It's too early to tell what all of the internal dialogues are for investors in the market. But please, for your own sake, don't make moves in haste. Try to ignore the day-to-day moves, accept the rough times, and stick to the plans that you made sometime back when the market wasn't so choppy. And well, I hope you remember these feelings by the time that you actually listened to these words. And now, let's go back to the rest of the basement.
Wow, miss me? I'm going to have to leave, though, before Joe's mom asked me to stick around and have some sauerkraut she just made. You ever have that stuff without being loaded? There is not enough lederhosen on earth to make me eat that stuff. Okay, here's the trivia answer. The question was this. What's the top ingredient in a dollar bill? The answer? Cotton. U.S. dollar bills are 3/4 cotton and 1/4 linen. That's why I always feel like I have less money. Cotton shrinks.
You know, I'm so interested in that product that she talks about, the Nest. I just would really love to have that in my house. When you finally move, you think you're going to do something like that, that adjustable thermostat?
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to the old lady today about that, or this past couple of days about that, as a matter of fact, about how I wanted to have all the whiz-bang gadgets in there that control the shades and control the lights and temperature. And she said, yeah, that'd be great to be able to just lay in bed and turn down the heat or something, turn up the heat or turn on the air conditioning or whatever. And I thought, yeah, I wasn't thinking about being that lazy. I just was thinking about being on the couch and not doing it, not laying in bed. Jeez.
Does she call you the old man?
Probably.
When you call her the old lady? Yeah, my old man.
My old man. He's fixing to give me a whooping if I don't get dinner on the table.
Yeah.
Do you see that they even have nowadays the locks that are openable by the Bluetooth on your phone?
Yes.
And then you can give people like temporary keys, basically. You can say, hey, you know, come water my plants while I'm on vacation or something.
I like that. I think it was in an AT&T commercial with the one where the kids stop at the house and he's like, hey, so did you lock everything up? And the kid's like, oh, yeah. So the guy goes and he notices they left.
Everything's on, the water's on, the thermostat's jacked up, everything.
I love that technology.
Until your phone dies or cracks or Bluetooth isn't working that day or the battery dies on your lock and then you're screwed.
Yeah, thanks to Andrea Warwick. Go to andreawarwick.com to check out her site. And you can sign up for her newsletter, as we mentioned, OG, and just follow her. So whenever she's on television, you will get an alert and she posts those interviews later on. So you can catch all of her interviews. So speaking of saving money, magnifymoney.com, they will save you some money. Our sponsor on this show. People pay way too many fees, OG, on their basic banking account. The three biggest fees on bank accounts are monthly fees, ATM fees, and the granddaddy of them all, overdraft fees. Last year, American banks made more than $32 billion in overdraft fees alone. In fact, every Bank of America branch, according to our friend Nick at Magnify Money, generated more than $1 million per year in banking fees. And of course, they have thousands of branches, right? So do that math. For people who opt into overdraft protection, the average annual fee is $250 per year. How do you get rid of that? Take you less than 5 minutes by going to stackybenjamins.com/magnifymoney. That's how you tell them that we sent you and keeps our sponsor sponsoring this show. So please go to stackybenjamins.com/magnifymoney and you'll be able to quickly compare to switch and save money. We've got letters, OG. We have a great letter from our friend Tony. Tony says, Joe and OG, it looks like the math is finally forcing us to give up our PPO plan and go to a high deductible health plan, HDHP, with an included HSA account, a health savings account. My question, is there a time limit on when we have to make medical reimbursement claims? I'd like to treat that account as another retirement account, still in research stage, but we have investment options once we save $2,000, only tapping it when a large medical expense comes up and we could not do it out of cash flow. Is there a stale date, or could we simply keep our receipts and ask for reimbursement when we needed it, even if that were years down the road? Thanks, Tony.
I don't know the exact answer to that question.
Which is very funny, because you know what the first thing that I wrote, Tony, was? I said, great question. And I think it's the first time that I've been stumped since we started the show. However, it was my job when I was an advisor to find reliable information. I could generally find it very quickly. So I actually found the answer, but I'd love to hear, because 99.9% of the time you come up with it just because of being in the trench every day. So
because I'm probably pretty smart.
So let's hear it.
So the high deductible plan, I think, is really, really, really good, especially if you have a fairly predictable health situation. Now, obviously, you can't control if you decide to go skiing and break your collarbone or something, you know, or whatever. That's just going to happen. But if you're, you know, healthy and you don't have any raging medical problems, I think it's great. The way that I think that you use it best is you figure out the difference between what the PPO is and the insurance plan for the high deductible plan. Let's say that it's $200 a month. You know, you can pay, your PPO was $400 a month, and now the high deductible plan is $200 a month. Now you got to take the extra $200 and maybe more if you felt like it, and put that in the
HSA.
So cash flow wise, it's the same to you. But now you're going to be on the hook for a higher out of pocket amount every year. Let's say that your out of pocket amount was $2,000 maximum on the PPO plan, but now it's $4,000. So the first thing I would do is I would keep all that HSA money in that account until I got to that maximum out of pocket for that year. So you talked about the investing plan and that sort of thing, and every HSA has that. I wouldn't invest any money in the HSA until I had enough cash in the HSA to offset 1 year's of catastrophic output. So it may take you 2 years to build, or 2.5 years or something like that, because, you know, you're going to spend a little bit as you go or whatever the case may be. But so now, you know, you put in $2,000 a year, you spent a little bit, so it takes you 2.5 years. Now you've got $4,000 in the account. After that, at the end of the year, I would take out the amount that's extra and dump that into the investment side, invest in the S&P index fund. And you're right, it's a great retirement healthcare savings account, basically. It turns into, how do I fund my retirement healthcare? This is how. Along the way, you're going to get tax deductions for contributing. It's pre-tax, I should say, to contribute to your HSA, which is great, which effectively means you can pay for your out-of-pocket healthcare costs with your HSA account. So most HSAs give you like a debit card, you know, one for you and one for your spouse or however many order. And you go to the doctor and they say, okay, we ran your insurance plan and today's checkup visit is free. Or it'll say, today's check, you had to get that bone set, it's $150 or whatever the case may be. You just pay for it using your debit card. So you're not going to be out of pocket anyway with the money. So he's talking about like reimbursing yourself and that sort of thing. I'm sure there's a way to do that. The way we've always done it in my house is we'll either bring the debit card if we're going to the doctor, we know where we're going, or if we get a bill, most of the time the bills have an option to write in a Visa card number or something like that. We'll just write that number in there, sign it, and send it in. It just kind of comes out of this healthcare account that's ebbing and flowing as contributions go in. And, you know, I went back to the doctors today to get a checkup on my blood pressure and it was $40. They hit it for that. Or you can use it for, you know, at the dentist or something like that. So that's how I would use it. As far as can you hang on to the receipts for a long period of time, I'm just going to throw a dart at a dartboard and say the answer is no. You have a predefined time to do it. And I'm going to pick that predefined time as the day you file your income taxes.
I love the whole first half of that, but you're wrong on the back half.
And I tried.
I thought about...
But I said it with conviction, so I think half the people probably believe
it. I thought of it, no, on a scale of a conviction level, you were a 10. It was great.
The call. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, the general rule is if you're going to be wrong very confidently.
Be wrong with gusto.
Yes. And, you know, I thought about that too, because I thought, why would I want to give up potentially a 30-35% discount by not submitting these receipts today and receive them later? And I think what Tony's thinking about is if I can pay interest, right? If I can use interest on that 10 years from now, I can have a heck of a lot cheaper by turning them in 10 years from now. And the answer, and I went to two different places, and I'll put both of these in the show notes, but the second place I went was the actual IRS website. And the answer to that question is, as long as the expense was not before the day you began the HSA plan, so the day that you start, any day afterwards, it can be as stale as you want it to be. Now, we are not CPAs. We're not your tax professional. I would get that from your tax professional, not from us. That's our cover our butt statement, because we are masters of everything.
I think the other piece of it, too, is you got to have pretty darn good record keeping.
Yeah.
That seems pretty hard to do. But I can see what you're saying if you really wanted to
really get a cheap,
really
cheap, cheap, cheap,
somehow
cheap.
Maximize, you know, and all of a sudden and 32 years, you write yourself a check out of your HSA for $17,000. You're like, oh, I'm going to Italy.
Winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
You know, all in all, you made 17 cents in interest on it, because interest rates in 30 years from now are still going to be at record lows.
There's a lot of caveats on that, OG. You can't have been reimbursed someplace else, right? So I will have the link on the show notes for the full answer. But the quick, short answer is, as long as it is a qualified expense that fits the HSA requirements, there's no end date.
I would put another asterisk on there. My guess is that those qualified expenses change from time to time. And I think there has been a change to some of them recently. So another vote in the column of don't wait too long would be, if it's 2017 and you're trying to figure out, can I reimburse my aspirin purchase from 2013 because I just found the receipt? Maybe aspirin's not covered today, but it was then, or maybe it's now.
Yeah.
It is, and then right. It wasn't.
Right.
I don't know that it's worth waiting too long. I mean, you certainly don't have to do it in the moment if you're not motivated enough. But, you know, if your HSA plan has a debit card option, I think that's probably the simplest way. And if you really got nitpicky, I know, like, if we go to CVS, it prints off on the receipt. It'll say, you know, here's how much your charge was, $19.12. HSA eligible, $7.18. In my house, we don't do anything with that.
Yeah.
I don't ever try to. It's $7.
Yeah.
I'd rather save that money for the, oh, crap, my kid broke his arm.
Yes.
You know, and right. Now I got to write a check for $2,000. I'd rather have that money available in the HSA.
Thanks for that note, Tony. If you've got a question for us, send that to joe@stackingbenjamins.com. I'll try to answer you right away. And then we'll also see if OG can get it right on the show.
Half right today.
We will sabotage OG on the show, because literally sitting here across the card table from you, I don't show you these at a time. I just bring it on and he's right most of the time. We also are very happy that our listeners have given us reviews, OG. And when you give us a review, not only does it show people that come and check out the show that we got people that like the show, but also it shows iTunes that people like the show. And the more times people interface with giving us reviews or commenting on reviews, so there's this little thing that says, was this review helpful? If you go check whether you think a review is helpful or not, that even helps us in the rankings. And the higher our ranking is, the more that helps us with new listeners. But let's read one of the reviews. This one came in last week, and this is from Christine. It says, by educating educators. I love this. 5 stars says, thank you. Listen to this review, OG. I hope to follow in your footsteps. I don't think she has any idea what she's getting into there, following in our footsteps. But she says, I hope to follow in your footsteps. I love to teach people about personal finance, Christine. I guess the only thing, Christine, that we can offer is, if you're going to try to teach people about personal finance, try to make it fun, because this can be a way, way, way boring topic, huh? OG, yes?
Yes.
Yes. In fact,
I'm distracted.
In fact, OG was snoozing.
What was that? Yes.
Yeah.
Reading an article about spending money. And you know that the author, and I know the author, and I would, you know, like to have a little discussion. Toe-to-toe with him about this.
Discussion, yeah. All right. Leave us a review and we will read it on the air. Or if you have thoughts about the show or things you'd like to see on the show, send me a note at joe@stackingbenjamins.com. That's it, OG. Saving money on utility bills with Andrea Warrick. Helping people look long-term instead of getting upset about this recent market volatility.
Yeah.
Nice call there. Sue your 401k.
I got a whole book, by the way, My camera's on. Here we go. This whole book, I got it at a conference called The Maxims of Wall Street.
Yeah.
And we should go through and read some of these.
That's a thick book.
Yeah.
Are there pictures?
No. But it's all on different things. So the topics are how to make a million, market timing, bargain hunting, contrarian investing, risk and reward, dancing down Wall Street, leverage and debt. I mean, there's like just hundreds of different articles. And they're all little categories. And they're all little sayings. Like, here's one. Nobody does business with a failure. That's just motivating, isn't it? Success has 1,000 fathers. Failure is an orphan.
Isn't that true, by the way, that even when people fail, like they put that spin on it where they go, well, you know what? I have learned from the school of hard knocks. I have successfully figured out ways to, yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to get married in a bull market.
Yes. Yeah.
So
that's what my old boss, back when I had this job in college at this water treatment company, selling water softeners, sounds like I was working for the city. I wasn't. The company sold water softeners. You know,
elegant man.
Yeah. You know what the guy said? The general manager said, he said, making money solves all your problems.
You're here.
Because whenever our salesmen weren't selling anything, like the whole company went into this funk and people would fight and it would be nasty. And then all of a sudden, like they get a few big sales and everybody's happy and life is good and everybody's getting a raise. And that would go on for like 3 weeks until they went through the next drought. And it was what a emotional job that was. Speaking of something that's emotional, OG and I, we watch lots of movies during the year. So you don't have to at this point in the show. We no longer talk about financial planning. We talk about movies that we've seen, and you saw a movie, OG, that's called
The Equalizer.
You catch that fish yet?
Hmm?
They're both.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
It's a happy ending.
Not exactly. The old man met his greatest adversary just when he thought that part of his life was over.
Why didn't he just let the fish go?
Old man's got to be the old man. Fish has got to be the fish. Got to be who you are in this world, right? No matter what.
Yo, Pop, bet you didn't have to push no dollies at your old job, did you?
Guilty as charged.
Can you do a refund for me when you're done?
Open the register up right now. Move. Give me that ring.
No, it was my mother. Please.
It's okay, Jenny.
What's she doing about?
It is about a guy who's a knight in shining armor, except he lives in a world where knights don't exist anymore.
My ring.
You can be anything you want to be. Change your world. I promise I would never go back to being that person. But when somebody does something unspeakable to someone you hardly knew, you do something about it. Because you can.
I mean about a girl.
This is a movie that stars Denzel Washington. I like him. I've seen him in a ton of movies. And I think he's fairly decently typecast nowadays. If you've seen kind of his roles over the last, I don't know, 5 or 8 years or so, going back to like Training Day, Man on Fire, this same movie, The Equalizer.
Same dude.
Same type of person. I thought this movie was great. It starts out by focusing on this kind of plain, everyday type guy, right? He's just works at Home Depot or whatever they call it in the movie, and he minds his own business and hangs out with the local Home Depot people and is nice to everybody and lives a life of solitude. And then you find out that he's widowed through a conversation he has with one of the other co-actors in there. And then just something snaps in him and he sees something that he doesn't like. And you can tell that he's wrestling with whether or not to do something about it. And, you know, we won't talk about what it is that he saw, but just kind of bad behavior by a group of people. So he decides to intervene, and he intervenes in the most violent way possible. So this is not a kids' movie. This is very, very, very graphic in terms of how he deals with these people's shenanigans, let's say, and continues that theme throughout. And so you find out later in the movie that he is a former special operative type of person. They don't really give it away. They allude to the fact that he's visiting an old friend who has connected to the CIA. He's trying to research who this main adversary is and who he's up against, basically. And my favorite line of the movie is he's at this friend's house and she has done some research for him and he's sitting out on the patio. And the woman who he went to see, her husband, says, "Were you able to help Robert out?" And she says, "He wasn't here for help. He was here for permission." And then it really is on like Donkey Kong. and he just basically tears the town up, you know, going after these bad guys.
It's almost like he and Liam Neeson kind of play the same, you know, like with Taken. Somebody does me wrong, so I'm going back and...
Yeah, Man on Fire is loosely based on a true story. A lot of the kind of big picture items of Man on Fire is true. This doesn't seem to be true. I didn't see any reference to anything being based on a story of such and such a person or something like that. But this is Man on Fire 2. So if you've seen Man on Fire and you know what that's about, this is like that. I thought it's great. It's long. It's 2.5 hours.
Wow, it is long.
Yeah.
Did it feel long? Because Gone Girl, as I mentioned on Monday, it felt long. I mean, it felt really good, but it felt long.
There were a couple spots where it kind of, you're like, okay, that's the end, and a little bit more. And, you know, they could have cut out the ending a little bit and just kind of been done with it, left you to your own imagination on some ending pieces. I think would have shortened it up by 10 or 15 minutes. But no, I mean, it's purposely deliberate at the beginning to kind of get you into this, what he's about. And he very rarely sleeps, and he takes care of his body, and he reads all the time, and he's intellectual. But his day job is working at Home Depot, and he is always cheery, and he's helping people out. There's a part in the movie where he's helping one of the people he works with qualify to be a security guard for the company. And he's got to make weight, and he's got to be able to, you know, accomplish some physical tasks. And this guy's overweight, and, you know, and he's helping him, kind of coach him through it. Like, all right, what are we eating today? You know, let's not eat potato chips. Let's eat carrots instead. And that sort of thing. So he's kind of, you know, he's a nice guy, and he minds his own business.
But scenes like that are just kind of building character.
Yeah. And then, you know, something happens. And you can see it when he's having the conversation with the bad guy at the first part of the interaction. You can tell he's really struggling with, I just wish that they would stop. Like, it would be in their best interest to stop being bad guys.
Yeah.
And he even offers them a bribe to stop and that sort of thing. And they just kind of laugh him off. And he goes to walk out and just stops and says, nah, that's not going to happen. And then ruins their day.
Dude, that totally sounds like your kind of movie.
It is my kind of movie. That's why I went to talk.
Completely sounds like. So you're going to go see Fury?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will too. Did you hear that my boy, Shia LaBeouf, and that's not how you pronounce his name, I don't think. But
I think it's isn't it Shia?
I don't know, but you know how whacked out
such
he's,
a weird name.
He's,
how about Bill? Can we just call him Bill?
Yeah, Bill LaBeouf. He apparently took out a tooth just because he thought it would get him into character more.
Huh. I had a tooth removed, and I figured out how to torture people. I've never known how to torture somebody before, but now I know.
Just
a tooth extraction would be the worst torture imaginable.
Just horrible. Yeah. Without Novocaine.
Oh, even with.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very pleasant.
Big thank yous going out to Andrea Warwick. Check out andreawarwick.com. Thanks to my mom's neighbor, Doug. And thanks to you, OG. We will see everybody back here on Friday stacking more Benjamins. We got the short stack on Friday. And OG, I'm going to see you on Monday.
All right.
This show is the property of the Free Financial Advisor, LLC, copyright 2014, and is produced by Joe Salcihi and edited by Joe and Isabella Bianca. PK normally resides at dqydj.net or curled up next to the furnace with some single malt scotch and a copy of the Mensa Handbook. The part of Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, has been nominated for an Oscar. It appears I've fallen and I can't get up.
Welcome to the after show, the part of the show that doesn't exist. I had a moment talking about a Denzel moment at a restaurant. Mine wasn't quite that. Luckily, I wasn't there.
So you had a moment at a restaurant that you weren't there?
Well, I was there for the second half. The first half, I wasn't there.
I gotcha.
So my Detroit Tigers were swept in the first round of the playoffs.
Shocking.
Which is very frustrating. Incredibly
shocking.
Frustrating. Easy.
Because they're bad. That's why. They limped into the playoffs.
Easy.
That's why they got swept.
Okay, man.
And because they suck.
So,
how are the Royals doing, by the way?
Easy.
Go, Casey.
So, the deal is that we decided, hey, we'd have, a dinner out. It would be kind of fun. Where do you go that has tons of televisions and just kind of a lighthearted place to go just have fun little dinner?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings. First thing we think of, right? So I said, so Cheryl is getting done with work. Text me, hey, I'm done. I'm like, oh, I got busy working. I will meet you there. She goes there. I get halfway there and she's like, we need to go somewhere else. And I said, why? And she goes, I'll tell you later. I said, well, let's go to Outback. So we go to Outback, sit in their little bar area where they have the big screen there. Mm-hmm. And of course, on every screen, they have the Detroit Tigers playing baseball. She walked into Buffalo Wild Wings and listen to this. The waitress says, I don't know what she talked about. There's no game on. Like, they've got all those televisions and not one. At Buffalo Wild Wings, known for sports, not one of them, OG, is showing the Major League Baseball playoffs. Not one.
It's because baseball's kind of stupid.
Easy.
I don't blame them.
So,
Not even kind of stupid. It's just stupid.
The woman says, it's not on. Cheryl takes out her phone and shows her, because Cheryl likes following the score on her phone, and right. It shows it's in the third inning. She's like, see here, game's in the third inning. It's halfway through the third inning. The woman looks at her and goes, no, it doesn't start till 8:30. Cheryl looks at her phone and looks back at the woman. She's like, I don't know if you heard me. I told you it's just on. And the woman said, no, I'm telling you it doesn't start till 8:30. So Cheryl said, okay, great. Stands up and just walks out. She wants it on at 8:30. Believe it or not, the game that wasn't on until 8:30 was on at Outback. I don't know how Outback did it. I've got no idea how Outback was able to go.
Time space continuum.
It was so weird.
Now, in this fantasy land of yours, did the Tigers win that game or did they lose that game too?
Yeah, we probably didn't even need to. We probably didn't even need to watch.
Yeah.
But
that's right. The Dodgers lost yesterday. Right. Or I guess this would be last week. I'm recording, we're recording it a couple of days early, but they lost. And the guy who lost the game was, I just read about it.
The best pitcher in baseball.
Best pitcher in baseball. Gave up 9 home runs the entire season and gave up a 3-run shot in the 7th to lose a game.
Yeah. No, that was tough. But
that
so
happens.
Yeah.
So, is it going to be a big Missouri World Series? The St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals? You don't even care, do you? Because baseball's kind of dumb.
I do like the Kansas City Royals. To answer your question, now that the Tigers are out, Kansas City Royals are my team. The problem is I'm having trouble saying this because I don't know how far along the series is when this actually goes out. So Kansas City Royals could already be out of it. We don't know. So
they wouldn't be out of it by now. The game doesn't start till 2 days from now, which is 5 days ago.
Talk about back to the future and the time-space continuum.
Yes.
No wonder Outback just figured out how to do a Stacking Benjamin's after show. And yes. That's how they did the whole back to the future thing. Yeah, so I got the thing I like about...
So in 2 days from now, when it's 5 days ago, then you'll know whether or not the series would have started.
One of the things I love about having a Twitter stream with 4,500 people following me, and I'm not saying that like pointing myself on the back, but one of the things that I do like
nice pat off your back. Go ahead.
When something really stupid happens like that, I just love going to Twitter. And
my favorite social media is a story about that is the bloggers. You and I have talked about this offline, probably
with her 100,000 at the time, and probably I don't know
probably
how many she's got now.
It's even more. But the standby for relevance.
Yes. Yeah,
I think that is my favorite story of all time, using the power of social media.
Yeah, I love the ability to get on Twitter, though, and say, hey, guess what? We went to at Buffalo Wild Wings and they said that the game that was in the third inning, and I shortened this up. I don't remember how we put it. They said the game that was on the third inning didn't start till 8:30, which was weird because at Outback had it on right then. Strange.
Yes.
Love it. Love it.
Wonder Bar.
Angry
Can I go
Joe.
Now?
Yeah. Go on your next trip out of town.
That's coming in another week.